Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
So if you have your Bible or you're open up the Bible app, we're going to be looking at John chapter 15. I was trying to figure out a way how to really, I don't lead discussion Bible study. And so I don't know that we can really do that tonight, but you can comment, you can post. I've actually got it up and running. I don't know that I'll catch it, but if you want to post something, maybe I'll see it. I don't know, because when I'm like in this mode, I'm in preach mode. But we're going to look at John chapter 15, and the title is Living in the Vine, because I really, this morning I woke up early, and I just really felt the presence of the Lord. I was speaking about abiding in Him, and so I wanted to go to John chapter 15. So let's look at that together, if you will, with me. John 15, beginning, we're going to read verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to skip to verse 9, and then we're going to skip to verse 16. So, John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. "Abide in me," he says, "and I in you." Man, that just brought up some, you know, there's all kinds of scriptures. The Bible says in James, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The Bible says in the Old Testament, seek Him while He may be found. And I love those seven words we see right there, eight words, whatever it is. Abide in me, and I in you. And then he goes on to say, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Let me put that in the West Texan for you. He's the trunk and we're the limb. And it's through Him that we gain our life. It's through Him that we gain, it's how the fruit of the Spirit works. We have to abide in Him. And then he says, neither can you unless you abide in me. We're not going to bear fruit. We're not going to have the life and life abundantly unless we are abiding in Him. I'm sure many of you have seen a tree or had a tree in your own yard where there was an ice storm or there was maybe a windstorm and a limb snapped and maybe you didn't notice it, but when it started turning brown, you noticed because it was cut away, it was broken away from the source. We've got to stay connected to the source. Abide in Him. And so then it goes on to say, I am the vine again. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him. Listen to what it says. Look at the promise. He bears much fruit. And then it says, apart from him, we can do nothing. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And he tells us another abiding principle here. Abide in my love. Then we go to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you should bear much fruit. The Lord wants you to bear fruit. The Lord wants you connected with Him, abiding in Him. He wants what's best for you. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to know that life and that life abundantly. And that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, He may give it to you. What a powerful promise. You know, and I just want to read also Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. I think this is a great season to stay planted in Psalm 91 for those first two verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You know, I just really wanted to keep it simple tonight, and so it may be some very basic things, but I'm going to tell you, as many of course, our church knows, and maybe you don't attend our church, but you're just tuning in, but we just came through a series called The Journey, and what I did was I kind of went back and just broke things down to its really a simplest form of just the basics of what it is to be a believer, and so tonight may be kind of a cliff notes of that series, but listen, I'm going to tell you, when the circumstance gets tough and the trial gets tough and it feels like you're in the middle of the storm, the place where we need to go is back to the basics. The place where we need to go is back to, I mean, really the simple things of what it is to be a believer. That's a little bit I want to talk to you about tonight, but I don't think it can be stressed enough of just the basics, the simplicities of Christian discipline. I know that many of us, man, we want to hear a prophetic word. We want to, and I really think this might, you know, maybe it classifies as that, but it may not be that goosebump thing, but I'm going to tell you what's going to sustain you is abiding in Him. What's going to bring you comfort and peace is abiding in Him. What's going to bring into your life love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, those fruit of the Spirit is going to be abiding in Him. What's going to bring you a thing of security is abiding in Him. And so I want to say this first. Number one is this. Everything you need is found in Jesus. Everything you need is found in Jesus. Everything you need is found in Jesus. And I think what's beautiful, yeah, that's what I said. I think what is beautiful about difficult times is it does get our eyes back on Him. Let's be honest. Sometimes when things are going awesome, going well, we kind of start depending on self again. Hey, I got this. I can do this. Things are going great. But when those hard times hit or difficult times or trials or tribulations or circumstance, I mean, quickly, usually, we get our eyes back on Him. But everything you need is found in Him. It's found in His presence. It's found in the promise of your word, abiding in Him. I really want that to be a stick in your heart tonight. Abide in Him. Abiding in Him. Everything you need is found in Him. Another way to say it is this, is everything you need is found in His presence in Jesus. He tells us in John, He says, I am the vine. And you know what? I love those I am statements of Jesus. He says it in John chapter 15 and verse 1. He says it here in verse 5. And He also says it all through the New Testament. He says another way, let's just look at the I am statements. He says, I am the bread of life. Oh, can y'all, I lost me here. So hopefully we're still on the broadcast. Are we okay? I am the bread of life. You can read John 6 and look through different places in John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. A bread is what sustains us. It's what brings us physical life. And so Christ also offers that spiritual life. He says, I'm the light of the world. John 8, 12. I am the light of the world. The world is lost in darkness, but Christ offers Himself as a guide. I mean, He is that light unto our path. He says, I'm the door of the sheep, John 10, 7. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life in John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. What a powerful I am statement. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the source of all truth and the knowledge of God. And He says, I am the vine in John 15. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable, listen to me, as we are attached, as we abide in Him, we enable His life to flow in us and through us. And we cannot help but bear the fruit of the Spirit when we abide in Him. John 7, 37 and 38, one of my favorite scriptures. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water. 1 John 4, 4. You see, abiding in Jesus will bring victory over our struggles when we abide in Him. So what's the benefit? What happens when we abide? When we abide in Him, the fruit of the Spirit will flow out of us. His love will flow out of us. His grace will flow out of us. So what also happens is when we abide in Jesus, it will bring victory in those areas that we struggle in. It'll bring victory that where we struggle in. It'll bring healing to our past hurts. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 4, a promise that some of us know, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. When you abide in Jesus, it brings the power that you need to break away from the sinful lifestyles It breaks you free from the chains. It breaks you free from the addiction. It brings healing to your heart. The promise of Scripture is, but He is the one that binds up our brokenhearted. He is the one that heals us. Abiding in Jesus, it causes growth in our life no matter the circumstance. If we're the kind of believers that are only growing when it's going well or only growing when it's going bad, I mean, what Jesus does is He brings some stability into our spiritual walk where we get off that roller coaster. We get off of needing that shot in the arm, so to speak. But you can abide in Him in a place where there is a constant source of life coming into your spirit. I love the promise in Colossians 2. It tells us that we walk in Him, those rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. But it says this, therefore, as you receive Jesus the Lord, the very first thing there, abiding in Jesus shifts us from depending on our own wisdom and shifts our desires to Him. When we abide in Him, we see something shift in us. I don't know maybe if you've experienced this, but I have found out that my flesh, it craves certain things. Yesterday, I asked Cheyenne, my office admin, I didn't have coffee that morning. I know it's terrible, right? I didn't have coffee that morning. Came in the afternoon, I had that caffeine headache. And I'm like, Cheyenne, I need some Dr. Pepper, man. And so you know what that Dr. Pepper did? It gave me the caffeine I needed, and it took care of that headache. And there are things that our flesh, it craves, it hungers for. But when we abide in Jesus and we press into Him in an extravagant way, what happens is those things that we shouldn't have hunger for, those draws to sin or offense or hurt or those things in our life, abiding in Jesus, it weans it. Well, let's maybe use an appropriate term of this chapter, when it prunes those things out of our life and it connects us more in with Jesus. Abiding in Jesus shifts us from depending on our own wisdom, our own hunger, our own desires, and puts us onto His desires. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not lean on your own understanding. Abiding in Jesus causes us to depend upon Him and not on our strength, but we depend upon His strength. The promise of Scripture is that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I love Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. But some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Our trust needs to be in God. We can't depend on our own strength to handle this thing. We can't depend upon that. Remember David was going to battle with Goliath. What's one of the statements he made? The battle belongs to the Lord. We've got to give it all to Him. Abiding in Jesus puts us in sync with the power and the promise of His word. When we abide in Him, there is we know how sync happens, right? When we sync up to something, when we get on the same page about something, when we abide in Him, we're getting on the same page of the power and the promise of His word. And that brings life into us. One of my favorite scriptures about the promises of God is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may be partakers. Listen, doesn't it sound like abiding? So that through them you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue, knowledge. And so how do we abide? How is it that we abide? I know, right? I know this is going to be super simple. I know that it's just going to be like no-brainer things. But listen, I'm going to tell you, I think in times like these, we need to be reminded. So how do you abide? How do you come to that place of abiding? Listen, one thing you do is you read your Bible. I know, right? This mind exploded. You know, you're just like, wow, that's revelation. Listen, read your, I mean, we know that, but do we do that? I mean, do we really, really? I'm not talking about, you know, seeing just, and which are great. It's awesome. I love YouVersion, right? I love the Bible app, and I love going on and seeing the verse of the day. And I think that's wonderful and powerful. But listen, getting in the Word to draw to in an abiding in Him way, it's more than just seeing a verse every once in a while. I'm going to tell you what I'm making a challenge tonight, what you're going to hear tonight, is that we spend, I love the live dead term of our missionaries, spend extravagant time with Him. And so when you're looking in your Bible, when you're reading a Bible, I'm going to tell you, it is about quality. And I'm going to tell you, and I know some may disagree with me, but it's also about quantity. It's more than just a verse here and there, but it is opening up that book, that Bible, or turning on that app, or going to BibleGateway.com, however it is, you know, you consume scripture, and getting in and spending time there. I mean, the promise of the Bible, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts. But it's the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharp. God's word changes the way that I think. God's word creates the abiding in Him relationship that I need. And the key word there is intimacy. It brings me to a place of intimacy, of close personal relationship with God the Father, because I'm reading His love letter to me. God's word heals us. It speaks to us. It creates that relationship that we need to abide in Him. Excuse me. I remember when Angela were dating, and I'd get those letters from El Paso when I was here in Odessa. And I'm going to tell you something. I just didn't read those letters once. I just didn't read those letters. I mean, that was like I didn't have email yet. Barely knew what a computer was. And so we used to do this thing where we hand, you know, write letters and put stamps on them and mail them. And I would read her letters over and over. And I mean, I would just like, I would consume them. And then when I would write her back, I'd sit down and I'd have those letters opened up, and I would go line by, word by word, in responding and writing. That's the way that we need to consume God's love letter to us. And that takes quality, yes. But I'm going to tell you, it takes a time investment. And so some very, very practical things. Commit to read the Bible in a year. I mean, just 365, go through the Bible in a year. Make that commitment. Or one method, maybe like read a couple of Old Testament chapters, and then a chapter in the Gospel, then a chapter in the Acts and Epistles, you know, the letters, you know, like Galatians, Philippians, Colossians. And but be intentional. It's okay to be intentional. You know what? I'm reading different areas always, but my main reading through the Bible in the year, I'm in Leviticus right now. I'm gonna be honest. It sometimes it's hard to keep my focus and attention and reading through Leviticus, but I don't ever take it lightly, because it is all part of being a disciple. A root word is there, a word we don't like much is discipline. It does take discipline. So how do we abide? We read our Bible. You know what the second thing is that we memorize Scripture. I know. See, this is mind-blowing stuff. I'm going to tell you. What's powerful about memorizing Scripture, there's some quotes I like. I love quotes. Some of you know that. But Chuck Swindoll, he said this: I know of no other single practice in Christian life more rewarding and practically speaking than memorizing Scripture. He went on to say this: your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper. Your attitudes and outlooks will begin to change. Your mind becomes alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. If that's what I get by memorizing scripture, that's what I want. There's a professor in the University of Southern California, and he said this: Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose, he goes on to say, between all disciplines of spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization because it is the fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth. The scripture tells us that's where we need it. How does it get in our mouth? Memorization. And so when you have that memorization, I'm going to tell you something. It will change the way that you worship. It'll change your heart. It will change the way that you pray. It will change your perspective on circumstances. It'll bring strength. It'll bring wisdom. It'll bring power. Because what happens is in the middle of the moment, you have something to draw on. There's apps in the app store. I use an app called Verses. It's in the app store. It does cost a little bit, but it helps me memorize scripture. And anytime I sit down and just read my Bible, I always make note of scriptures that jump out, and I'll add that to my memorization list. And so I've always got some scriptures that I'm working on. And what happens is when I'm praying, when I'm talking to somebody, when I'm worshiping, I tend to find that even sometimes I think, man, I haven't thought about that scripture in forever. And I think I forgot that scripture. It just kind of bubbles up and comes out just at the right time. The Holy Spirit knows how to do that. The scripture tells us, let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalm 119:11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If me not falling short, if me not sinning is a byproduct of hiding, memorizing, putting his word into my heart, I'm going to tell you what, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. The third thing, another thing is to pray. Pray, 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 pray. Just don't pray when it gets bad. Pray when it's good. Pray when there's nothing going on. We need to be a people of prayer. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you've never heard it in this terminology. And this is kind of from the Live Dead Journal Devotional, but they say this: Jesus is a priceless treasure. And I love the wording of that, how they say that. Jesus is a priceless treasure, and the way that I experience that is communion with him, is talking with him. His presence is everything. If my lips say, Jesus, I love you, I thank you, then there should be a time investment in prayer to him. It's okay to have a system to your prayer. If you're like me and anything catches your attention, you know, the whole, you know, it's the squirrel syndrome, you know? I mean, it's okay to have a method to your prayer. I mean, there's several. There's the Lord's Prayer, which is one of my favorites. That's what I use. My church is familiar. I talk about it often. The Lord's Prayer, worship, intercession. So you take, you know, John or Matthew, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And I go through that scripture, and what you find is a place to worship, a place to pray, to intercede, to pray for the needs around me, to ask, give us this day our daily bread, to ask for that provision. Forgiveness. I mean, scripture, wow, it is pretty direct on how forgiveness works, and that I need to give forgiveness to receive forgiveness. And it tells us that, Lord, forgive me as I forgive those in my life. It goes into battle. It tells us, deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. And so that's that spiritual warfare of going into battle. And then it ends in worship. There's also an acrostic that's pray, P-R-A-Y, pray, praise, repent, ask, thank you. Simple, right? These are on your YouVersion notes if you want to check them out. There's also praise, repent, ask, and yield. There's acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I know I'm rushing through this, but it's on those notes there. But also, there's also one that we're desperate for sometimes, and it's the push prayer. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. So we have to pray. But in prayer, and not just prayer, but we need to be people of worship. There was a man, Eddie Hyatt, and he said this. Someone noted that when we pray, we're preoccupied with our needs. That tends to be the case sometimes. When we praise, we give thanks. We're preoccupied with our blessing. But when we worship, we are preoccupied only with God. Louis Giglio, he's the founder of the Passion Movement. There's, of course, maybe you've heard his songs, but he says this, worship is the wrecking ball to the kingdom of darkness in the middle of the night. I like that definition of worship. Worship is a wrecking ball to the kingdom of darkness in the middle of the night. I love, matter of fact, if you want to read a verse, maybe jot it down. I'm not going to look at it right now, but First Chronicles chapter 16, there's some verses there, verse 23 through 31, and it walks through worship. When we worship, listen to me, when we get to that place, that secret place with God, I know some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been there before. Maybe some of you there are there often. Maybe some of you have never experienced that before, but I'm going to tell you something. You can get so lost in God's presence and that place of worship. You'll hunger for it. Your heart will pound for that moment to go into the holiest of the holies, that place with God. And the way you get there is through worship. And what you find is this, when you're in a place of worship with God, I say this all the time, but listen to me again, your circumstances get smaller when God gets bigger. That's what happens during worship. Why? Because you're not focused on what's going on around you. You're focused on Him. And I remember a verse that says something in effect of, I'm going to love the Lord God with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my strength. When we worship God, when we get in that place of worship, it starts to align all of our priorities, our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind. It comes in alignment with what God wants from our life. When we worship God, we fulfill. Listen, people all the time, we ask and we pray and we're looking and searching and reading books about our purpose in life. I'm going to tell you, one, there's several, but one of the main purposes you were created by God was to worship Him. And when you step forward in that place of worship, you are being obedient, and God's going to meet you with His presence, and you're going to experience Him in a special way. When we worship God, listen to this one. We don't talk about this too often, but when you go through Scripture, especially that 1 Corinthians or Chronicles 16, when we worship God, we're telling the world that He alone is God. And you know what the world needs right now? You know what they need right now is that He's the one true God, that He's the safe place, that He's the shelter, that He's the strong tower. And the last and final thing is this. Listen. When you have that time of Bible reading, memorization, praying, worshiping, take time to listen. Because, see, I told you one of the main purposes God created us was for us to worship Him. Did you know another one of those main purposes is that God wants to communicate with us? He wants to speak to His children. He wants to talk to you. And that may be through that still, small voice in your heart. That may be, I'll tell you something. I haven't said this in a while, but I was thinking about it today, that we can be in such a close relationship with Him. Sometimes we have these epiphanies, I guess, so to speak, or a realization or maybe a revelation. And I'm going to tell you that when that can happen, that's listening to God. Those things can happen, give us this instant direction, an instant answer. It's like, I didn't know I was that. Well, I'm not that smart, and so I realized that it was God that gave me the answer, that gave me the direction, and He can speak to you in that fashion, that form, that way. John 14, 26 tells us this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring remembrance to you all that I have said to you. And that's the, in that moment of listening, that's how you hear those things. I mean, don't want we want to unlock our ears and our minds and our hearts to what God has to say about things? And listen, it's a very simple thing. I know many of you heard this over and over and over again. I'm going to say it again. You will know it's God speaking to you because it will line up with his word, because his word is our foundation. His word is what gives us everything we need. God's not going to speak to you something that contradicts what he says in his word, in the Bible. And so whatever, and so whenever God speaks to you and you're wondering, is that really God? You can go to scripture and you can see. And I'll tell you this, is another kind of test that helps you. If it's you spreading good news, it's God. If it's you speaking life into somebody's life, blessing into somebody's life, it's God. That's God working and doing something. And so we need to be sensitive to those impressions. Listen, I know maybe we're tired of hearing about it. I mean, some of this I think is just, if I'm absolutely honest, I think crazy. I see the necessity of some of the regulations and things that we're doing, but I'm going to tell you, maybe, just maybe, God's giving us a moment that we can get back to the basics and we can weed all the junk out of our life and we can get into the Bible, we can pray, we can worship, we can listen, and we can look at his word, learn his word, memorize scripture. Maybe God at this time is giving us time to do that, to empower us for what is yet to come, because I believe the greatest days are ahead. I think the greatest revival hasn't happened yet, but I do believe we're in the last days, and I believe he is pouring out his spirit. And if you need a refreshing, if you need a touch, if you need a child, if you need God, there's ministry that only he can do to bring peace into your life. Now's the time. Now's the time to surrender. Now's the time to surrender. And so what I want us to do is I'm going to close, and we're gonna I guess, sign off our broadcast. I had an image of when I was a little kid and I was up really late watching TV. Anybody remember that? And the flag came on and the anthem played. You knew it was, you know, TV wasn't 24/7. But I want to pray. And I know these are such elementary, simple Christian disciplines. But I'm going to tell you, we will never move on to the next line, to the next level, to the next precept, to the next revelation, to the next anything that God has for us until we get the basics down. But I'm going to tell you, it's the basics where you find strength. It's the basics where you find refreshing, where you find power, where you find miracles. And I want us to pray that. Would you pray with me? I want to pray that right now. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that even as some of these things I say tonight, I have a prick of conviction in my heart. And Lord, I don't want to waste this moment. I don't want to waste this time, this season, in pressing in after you. And so I pray that you raise up the people of God with a new hunger for you. And we're going to experience that as we communicate with you, as we listen, as we worship, as we look at scripture, as we memorize scripture. That's where we're going to experience that. A lot of us maybe have a lot of anxiety or uneasiness or maybe even a dark cloud for us. And maybe we're asking people around us for prayer, which is a good thing. We need to ask for prayer. Lord, maybe there was a shift in our heart for us to realize we need to press in after you. We need to abide in you, for when we're abiding in you, that's where we experience freedom and grace and mercy and strength and power and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It is abiding in you that we find that promise come to pass. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, If you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.